Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio, channelradio.co.uk/2 with me, Paul Andrews, and Mr. Marvis, Martin Wayne.
Welcome back. Is there anybody out there? Help. Do tell us.
I'm getting loads of tweets. Loads of people talking to me on here. We've got to crack through those.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can do one if you want.
Right, okay.
Now, go on, do one, Martin.
There's loads of networking going on, loads of promotions at the moment. Let's have a quick mention for Kent Space, so where we are today.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So 28th
I love of Kent Space.
November, which is Tuesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. There is, it's Kent Space's monthly networking meeting.
Speaker's Dave DeCara, isn't it?
Dave DeCara from Bocken and Toastmaster Dave.
Lovely
He's brilliant.
Voice.
Yeah.
So...
Get along.
So next Tuesday, I think
it's free.
5:30 it starts.
5:30 is free. There's nibbles. There's wine.
What?
There's networking.
Well, there's no wine.
No, there's no wine. Did I say wine?
You did say wine.
I'm overselling it, aren't I?
There's certainly orange juice and apple juice.
I don't know because I don't drink.
But the key thing is the networking on the evening. It's always a good quality networking event. So next Tuesday, 5:30, Kent Space, Letraset Building in Ashford,
Wootton Road. I've had a tweet here from a new listener, Educational Life CIC, and their Twitter handle is EduLifeCIC. And they say, hey, Vanilla Web, we would love a shout out to the team here at EduLifeCIC. Looking forward to the rest of the show. They don't tell me what they actually do, but I guess they're involved in education. And I guess they're a community project because they're a community interest company. So, I'll tell you what, give him a follow, find out.
Peter Andrews has been on. Remember Peter?
Kent
Financial Management Services.
I've got a blog of his on at the moment.
Brilliant.
In conjunction
yes,
with you.
Yes, you have. Yes, you're quite right. And actually, that's the topic of this intro here. So, Peter does works as a part-time financial director. Mm-hmm. And he says, would you love a highly experienced finance director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time employee? What Peter's offering businesses at the moment, businesses that perhaps only have access to their accountant once a year for compliance purposes and then, you know, therefore spend, you know, 9 months of the current trading year and completely in the dark about what their business is doing on a kind of numbers level. Peter's offer on the back of an initial consultation and a follow-up plan action report is to basically say, look, if I can't save you my fee or generate additional income in your business equivalent to my fee in the first 3 months of you engaging me, I'll give you that money back. So it's a complete no-risk scenario for business owners who perhaps know in their heart of hearts that they need to get more of a handle on what their business is doing financially. So Peter Andrews is your man. And you'll find details of that offer and promotion on the Sublime Business Community website.
Sounds good to me. We've got another new listener. Blimey, we're reeling them in today. Footscray Social Club. And I say, hi, Vanilla Whip. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? We have a live music Friday from 7 p.m. on the 24th of November. And they say the party duo are back by popular demand. Mm. Ooh, sounds good, doesn't it? You can follow them on the Twitter, Footscray Social, they are.
Our resident printer, Terry Seller, from Tick Media, he's been on before, hasn't he?
He has.
Is doing a Christmas promotion at the moment for anything print-related. So whether you need Christmas cards, branded wrapping paper, that's a new one on me, Paul. Have you ever sent anything, any presents out under the tree or, you know, in branded jobs in Kent wrapping paper or...?
Has it ever occurred to you to do that?
Yeah, no, do I admit this on air? I've given away a few branded jobs in Kent Christmas presents to family members.
Oh, well, that's classy, isn't it?
Would you like a polo shirt? Yeah. Sorry, it's got jobs in Kent on it, but you could probably unpick it.
That's classy.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I saw Jamie in a pair of jobs in Kent socks, actually, at your summer barbecue.
Absolutely, that would have been true. Yeah.
Purple. Yeah. What's he wearing purple socks for?
Yeah, jobs in Kent socks, they were.
So, anyway, branded wrapping paper could be advent calendars, Christmas gift tags, branded Christmas crackers, crikey. Portrait wall calendars, wall planners, anything like that. If you need some Christmas branded items to give to your clients, your customers, Terry Seller is your man. TIC Media is Terry's company. And again, all of that Christmas promo stuff is on the community page of Supply My Business.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Dragon Co-working. over there in Medway, and they say, could we have a bunker shout-out, please, for our business clinic this Friday? Come along to our Q&A session with Ash Mindset, Ashley Lawrence, this Friday, 12:30 p.m., and that's at Dragon Co-working, which takes place at the St. George's Hotel.
And what a brilliant networking group ABC Networks is. I'm presenting a 10 minutes at ABC Ashford this week on Thursday morning. Brian Wakefield is the host of that particular meeting. And I've decided to theme that presentation. What does it take to get me into rubber? Question mark.
Kayaking.
A lot of ferry liquid.
Carol's seen it.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. So if you'd like to know what it takes, not necessarily me,
what it takes
to get somebody into rubber.
Boggled at that.
I had a visual then, image there I want to get rid of.
Please come along.
Mind bleach.
We normally have about 30, 40 businesses in and around the kind of Ashford area at that meeting. So, yeah, it's ABC networking. Book yourselves onto that.
Fantastic. I don't know if you saw this earlier, but Tracy Ferguson was responding to our little rant about roads. Did you see that?
She's been very active. I haven't had a chance to get back to her.
Okay. Well, she says, I agree with Martin Paul White. Don't do that.
No.
Re-infrastructure. I spent hours, many unproductive hours, stuck on the M25 in a previous role as a regional manager. I was once stuck for 7 hours at the Dartford Tunnel, got home at 1 a.m. and then had an early store director meeting the next morning. Yeah, absolutely. It's part of our productivity problem.
Tracy's also been agreeing with us about upskilling, you know, and training the workforce as well. So glad to hear you're listening in, Tracy. Natalie Benegs has been on.
Yeah, I was just about to read that. Go for it.
Good, good. So 8th of December, Natalie is having a networking event in Faversham. Mm. It's an all-day event. If you have a Kent business and you are involved in any way, shape or form, in the creative arts or culture sector, please do come along to that. There'll be obviously networking, one-to-ones, presentations. It's a full day. I guess it's at the Alexander Centre, isn't it?
I guess so. That's where she
would normally
be.
Yeah. So,
I want to tell you something about young Mademoiselle Natalie, yeah, and some of the things she's up to, because I think she deserves some support here.
Good.
So this is a plea to businesses out there in Kent. Mm-hmm. Natalie Benet runs the Kent Creative Awards scheme every year. And she's got the Kent Creative Awards 2018 coming up at the early part of next year. We've had loads and loads of creative and artistic and cultural businesses that have entered, and they've got a fantastic lineup of finalists and all those kind of things that the judging panel have found. But she needs some sponsorship for the show. Now, Natalie is not like your normal business awards thing, where she just asks you to give her cash. She's incredibly good at helping to promote the businesses that support her. Incredibly good. But people aren't paying attention. They see it as just an opportunity to give her some money. And that's not what it's about at all. It's actually an opportunity to get a huge amount of advertising and awareness out in the Kent marketplace, coalesced around the creative industries. And so many people have a view on the creative industries that it mostly involves a load of hippie artists that aren't very good at making money but are pretty good at doing pictures. Yeah. Now, I'm the chair of the Kent Creative Guild, as it happens, and I know that the creative industries has a much wider remit than that. And creativity can be web design, graphic design, film, TV, radio, and all kinds of other things. So if Natalie sends you a message asking you to consider advertising with Kent Creative Awards, please think big, because it is a big market. I don't know if you know, the creative industries are worth $80 billion a year to the UK economy, and Kent is one of the leading regions for creativity. So please give Natalie some help with that, because it's a fantastic thing that she does, and the awards ceremony will be taking place at Ashford School in the first quarter of next year. And you can follow Natalie on the Twitter at Kent Creative Art.
Yeah, thank you. She has a big following as well.
She does. She's a lovely lady, and she works incredibly hard promoting art, culture, and everything creative in this lovely county of ours.
Eastwell Manor.
Yeah, love it.
I know where I'm going this Christmas.
Are you? Crikey. Eastwell.
Well, they've got shared Christmas party nights from £40 per person. So that's on the 10th of December. They've got a black tie Christmas ball on the 16th of December, which is £95 per person. Mm. And they're doing a bed and breakfast deal with that as well for £180. So there's a Christmas party night that you should be getting yourself off to if you haven't already organised it for your firm. On the 4th of December, I believe, is they're actually opening their ice rink?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Are you going to that?
I am.
I've had an invite to that as well. So.
I'm getting my hockey stick and puck out as well.
So there's going to be mulled wine and mince pies and ice skating if you're brave enough. So that opens formally on the 4th of December, I think runs all the way through till January. And I think they've also got some special meeting room delegate rates at the moment from £40 per delegate. So if you're thinking of having a last minute meeting in your business and you're looking for a venue, £40 per person at the beautiful Eastwell Manor, I would suggest, is an absolute bargain.
I do believe I could get told off at any minute on my phone here, but I do believe that my lovely Amanda's next networking
it
event
is indeed
Eastwell Manor in February.
So the lovely the gorgeous Alison Wallace is the lady that you need to speak to arrange all of those last minute Christmas.
You're schmoozing again,
that,
aren't you?
That people always.
He's a smoothie, isn't he?
She wears that wonderful Jo Malone perfume, Alison. And
Don't get excited.
I'm always complimenting her on it. But again, all of that information, all of those details, all in the community section of Supply My Business.
Fantastic. Thank you, Martin. Tracy's been on again. She's on a roll today.
I know.
Yeah, she's really interacting with us today, and we welcome that too. Thank you so much, Tracy. It's really good to hear from you. She says, Business Bunker, great conversation on job search skills. And job search skills should be on the curriculum. You're absolutely right. Excuse me. She says, on a positive note, there is a primary head teacher in Wales who looks at the demographic and local industries where computing and farming. So he introduced computing to the kids at 11 years old to get a qualification. I'm just going to say this, and I'm just going to leave it there. 54% of UK secondary schools do not offer computer science as a GCSE subject. It's the 21st century.
It's ridiculous.
It's the 21st century, for goodness sake.
Over
54%,
half.
Over half of schools do not offer computer science as a GCSE subject.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's why the Americans and Japanese laugh their socks off at us.
Yeah.
And yet we were at the leading edge.
And we were at the leading edge of
having invented the internet. Yeah. Can we give a quick shout out to Ricky Fay? Ricky was on the show not that long ago. Rickstechsupport.co.uk. Ricky's just recovering from a very serious operation, a lot more serious than he thought it was going to be. Went in for some routine surgery and it turned out to be a lot more serious. So, Ricky, we know you're listening at home. He's still working, still providing remote IT support for his clients. So if you need somebody that can basically dial into your machine, and as Carol did yesterday, for example, that can dial into your machine and actually help sort your IT problems, Rick's Tech Support is the chap to speak to. That's Ricky Fay, rickstechsupport.co.uk. And get well soon, Ricky.
Cool. Sorry, I'm just looking at some of the GIFs that have been posted here in response to some of your shenanigans here.
Oh, no.
There's quite a funny one of what looks like you, Martin, in a bowling ball. But I'll leave you to investigate
that. What are you looking at? Is it on your feed or...?
It's... No, you are included in it. It's from Amanda.
Right. Oh, Amanda.
Yes. Okay. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in that GIF, but it's interesting.
Is it the rubber thing?
It's the rubber thing.
It's the rubber thing.
That'll be the GIMP. Yes. That'll be a GIMP reference. I'm
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Right. Nice
Another
one.
Another image of my face.
Just so that nobody's I won't be wearing a GIMP outfit.
Okay.
And it wasn't actually me that got into rubber either. It was somebody else.
Okay.
Very famous
isn't
person.
Isn't any better.
Yeah. He's not. He's, when you're in a hole, stop digging. Innovate UK has announced new loans. Small businesses working on infrastructure systems projects, Martin. Mm. You were asking about this earlier. Can now apply for a share of a £10 million fund in an Innovate UK pilot loans competition. The competition aims to help businesses overcome barriers to scaling up innovation in infrastructure systems. And the deadline for registration is the 10th of January 2018.
That's a great scheme. Again, another scheme that no one will ever have heard about because it's not advertised.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Paul in a second about asset finance, and we're going to talk about Locase. Mm. We did a kind of a straw poll in a large networking group the other week, and I think one in five people had even heard of Locase.
Yeah.
And those people were the people that were delivering it in the room that had stuck their hands up.
Yeah.
You know. So it's just ridiculous, isn't it? There's so many great grant schemes out there, but who knows about them?
Absolutely. I thought we were supposed to have some kind of hub that pointed you at all of these, but that doesn't seem to do it either, does it? Anyway, we'll say no more about that. it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunk Show for the second time, I think. But it was quite a long time ago that you came. In fact, we were in a different studio, weren't we?
We were, yeah, absolutely.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Paul Rainbow.
Thank you very much. Pleasure
and
to be
his
here.
Delicious tie.
Oh, my fantastic tie.
And Paul is from Troman Finance.
I'm going to take a picture of the tie and tweet it.
Oh, we've got to do that. We've got to do that, yeah.
Thank you very much.
So, Paul, for those of you that don't know you, and there can't be anyone now, really, can there? But just tell us a little bit about you and what it is you do and what it is that Troman Finance actually do.
Well, Troman Finance is an asset finance company that can supply and finance motor cars as well as business assets, basically.
Okay.
So we can refinance lorries, refinance cars. I was refinancing some sheep the other day.
Sheep.
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 Yes.
As you would.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bazaar. And yeah.
Hold on. You've got to refinance sheep.
Did a herd of cows as well. That was interesting. Somebody phones up and said, I've got a herd of cows. I need to buy a herd of cows. And you think, that'd be daft. But £2,000 a head. We're 40 head of cattle. £2,000 a head. It's £80,000
a
head. We know how much the product is to begin with. We know what he's going to do with it. We know where it's going to end.
Can you do a personal contract hire on a cow?
A PCP.
can I take a PCP?
On a cow?
Yeah, on a cow. As long as I don't eat it, I've got to return it in 2 years.
There'll be someone that'll lend him money on that.
I think
hold on. Don't interrupt.
I'll tell you what it was. It's because now we're getting out of Brexit, they're losing the support.
Oh, right, okay.
And they're finding that they're not getting the money.
The grants, and they're not getting offset grants.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
No, see, don't laugh at me. Mm. If you PCP'd a cow, right, you could live on the milk without damaging the cow. You can return the cow in pristine order in 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's got a resale value, but I could have lived on the milk.
Or, at the end of the period, you'd have a really nice dinner.
Yeah.
But farming...
Don't write in, folks.
on a serious note, Paul, farming is one of those industry sectors that really does make use of finance in their business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, combine harvesters. Well, how much are they?
That's exactly the example I was going to give. I was at the Kent ploughing match a couple of years ago at Nonnington, and I was talking to a combine company there. And these combines are £250,000.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're only being used 1 month of the year when they bring in the harvest.
And all the farmers want it at the same time.
And they all and of course, nobody can pay for them outside of that window when they actually bring the harvest in and take the product to market. So that's when all the finance is arranged over that very tiny window.
Mm. Well, that's where brokers like me come into it, because you don't really want to use up your credit lines via your banks for that. And many banks won't lend on things like that because it's an awkward thing to lend on. Mm. So whereas a broker, I do whole of market, I can find out what's out there and I can work out the best lender for that particular product.
I'll just say this because it's been something prevalent for the last almost 10 years now since the financial crash. There are far too many people in this country that express opinions on things they don't understand. And a lot of people are very angry with investment banks over derivatives trading. In some respects, quite rightly. But what most people don't understand is what derivatives trading was actually put there for. And one of the biggest users of derivatives trading are agriculture firms and farmers. And what they're doing is they're selling contracts, future contracts, on their crops and harvests to protect themselves from price fluctuation.
Yep.
And that is incredibly important to industry, especially agri-industry and the agricultural industry. So just think about it before you start trying to ban everything, that sometimes there are legitimate reasons. There are investment banks that abuse that, you know, by cutting and slicing mortgage-backed securities and even worse, credit default swaps, which nobody bloody understood at all, ever, even the people that sold them. There are poor parts of the market. But in general, the market is there for a reason, and it's there for a very legitimate and good reason. So anyway, you've been doing some agricultural stuff just recently, Paul.
Agricultural stuff, yeah. Coaches, buses, supply those as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Funny, when you think about these nice new coaches that go by, it's probably £250,000 worth.
Absolutely. Really expensive, aren't they?
Seriously expensive bits of kit. Yeah.
So how do most coach businesses or transport operators finance those kind of fleets? I mean, do they tend to buy them, or
they can buy them outright? A lot of them tend to buy them outright. Not necessarily a good way of spending £250,000 on a bus, but a lot of them will come through somebody like me and say, find me a used coach and I'll go and find them a used coach.
Maybe that's what that bus thing was all about, with the £350 million. Maybe that was just the price of the bus.
The price of the bus. The Brexit bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But that's just one aspect. The other aspect is, of course, mechanically, when you look at cars and leasing and supplying cars, I've been in the motor trade all my life, mostly, that I enjoy doing that as well. And that's changing.
Absolutely. Can we talk about that for a moment? Because you know, it's a subject close to my heart, because I'm a bit of a petrol head and I love my cars and stuff like that. Let's look at the car industry and where it is in terms of acquiring cars. Through a business, because we're talking about a business allegedly on this program. So from your point of view, Paul, where's the market now? How are people looking at the car market at the moment?
I get asked a lot about contract hire, of course.
Yeah.
So because everybody's looking at contract hire.
Yeah.
Mainly because it's such an easy way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
My wife's Volkswagen Up cost me £100 a month, right. £600 down.
Yeah.
2 years later, I'll give it back, get another one.
Yep.
So, and it's cheap as chips.
Yep.
So, oddly enough, that was purchased before the change in road fund licences. So, the cheapest cars you can get are about £140 now. So,
right.
But it's still better than forking out £15,000 for a brand new one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then losing 50% of that over 2 years.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
It's somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And you don't then have to go back to Swiss Tony and try and push your car to him and get as much as you can or as little as you can.
Absolutely.
That Swiss Tony was a bit of an old reference there. Yeah. Could have gone further.
That was a bit like making love to a beautiful woman.
Yes, it was a little bit like that.
And there's only two people that know what on earth we're talking about. Yeah,
you and me.
Yeah.
And Swiss Tony.
And Swiss Tony, of course, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's working for a lot of people. So, I mean, again, not every company can do it to private individuals. You've got to be at the FCA. You've got to be accredited for that, which we are. So I can do it private and company. It makes sense.
What's interesting, I think, is that there are always loopholes in these things, aren't there, that people can kind of, you know, use to their advantage.
And so what are you thinking of?
Well, for example...
And why haven't you told me about them?
for example, the term van...
Oh, van, yeah.
...needs to be used today in its loosest sense.
Oh, okay.
So van doesn't necessarily have to mean Ford Transit pickup, you know, sorry, not pickup, Ford Transit van, you know, stereotype.
Are you trying to insinuate that some people buy vans, allegedly, that aren't too van-y?
Well... So if you were, for example, to buy a beautiful Volkswagen pickup or a Nissan or a Ford Ranger, for example, you know, with leather seats and all mod cons, and it's very convenient for taking your garden rubbish to the dump every weekend.
Yeah.
In theory, you could lease one of those, not pay any VAT on it, put all of the VAT through your business.
Yep.
And more importantly, not pay any company car tax on it either.
What do you mean?
On a personal level? Because it's a van.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, in other words.
I got where you're coming from.
In other words, completely tax free.
I don't want to say anything, Paul, but do you often wonder why he drives a 25 year old clapped out green Lexus? I just wondered.
Well, you now know what my next car is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
On the downside of that, they are pretty uncomfortable to drive. You need to be... They've got to carry a ton. So if they're carrying a ton, then if you're not carrying a ton, it's a bouncy old cart that does the 25 to the gallon.
Yeah,
so absolutely. No matter how much leather and flashy bits you have inside, it's still a truck.
Paul drives a Porsche, remember? So he's used to a bumpy old ride.
used to a Volkswagen.
I mean, those low-profile tyres, they're... terrible.
21 inch, mate. Yeah.
I've got run flats on my car.
Yeah,
so I teeth shattering.
Yeah. I do have a Porsche, but I also have a Mercedes, which I have on a personal contract hire.
Yep.
And I always buy cars like that.
Yep.
Or buy them. I don't buy them. I lease them. And it's a great way of getting a car.
It all depends how you use your car. If you're someone like young Martin here, who keeps his car for about 240 years,
yeah,
then the lease isn't the route to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. He got his car out of the ark.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
The other one perished.
So while you're losing thousands of pounds a year on your car, yeah, I'm not losing any on mine, because it's not worth anything.
I'm not, because I haven't bought it. I only paid
you
only
don't
paid
lease your Porsche, do you?
No, I bought the Porsche.
Right, there you are.
Yeah, no, but my Porsche is still worth a lot of money. I've only got 12,000 miles on it.
And it'll keep going up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They keep writing to me, trying to buy it off me. No, but I have personal contracts hire. Because I have, you know, a high-end car, I don't do it through the business, because the benefit in kind is just not worth it. Yeah,
it would
be horrendous.
Well, that's the point I was making.
Yeah.
You know.
But one of the things I have looked at, and this is where I want to start talking to Paul about this, is I got very close to buying a Tesla, so I started looking at electric vehicles. Now, the government are about to change the rules again and to diminish slightly the incentives that they had for buying them, starting from next year, but there's still a lot of incentives. So, Paul, give us an overview of where we are in the electric car market and the hybrid market.
That's interesting, because I love electrics. You're a petrolhead, I'm a petrolhead, and I don't think, starting right from the driving of one, that we're going to lose out, because electric cars are damn quick.
I test drove a Tesla.
And great, aren't they?
Its acceleration is comparable to my Porsche.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying. Yeah.
But the extraordinariness of electric cars is they're not extraordinary.
Yeah.
You just drive
quiet.
The problem is the range. It's called range anxiety.
Yeah.
And you will get cars that will do, they'll tell you, the manufacturers, 120 miles on a range. Mm. That's assuming the batteries are at the right temperature, that you're not driving like a lunatic. But as soon as it drops to minus 10, you're down to 40, 50 miles on a range on a full charge.
Yeah.
That is the main problem at the moment. Mm. Until they design a battery, until Elon Musk comes up with something saying 250-mile range, a 10-minute charge, and it's going to be £25,000, that's going to make a changer there.
I think the crucial thing is the charging time to a large extent. You know, because you can run low on petrol. Everybody runs petrol and diesel, and you just drive into the nearest garage and put some petrol in it, and it takes a few minutes. If you could top up a battery quite quickly, then people would feel more comfortable about it.
Well, they've mucked around with battery packs, so you pull in and you swap your battery pack and go away, but they're all on lease, so you're still paying for a battery pack. There's lots of little questions that you can ask on that, but hopefully someone will come up with a battery that will work. The other thing the Norwegians are doing, they've got buses that will stop at certain points, the electric buses, and they induction charge the battery.
Right.
So they're not stopping to charge. So while they're picking up passengers, they're
a bit like
charged.
Sky Electrics.
Well, exactly.
How does that work, Paul? Sorry? Does it walk through the street?
You know,
or
like
something,
your toothbrush. Or? No, you know, when you put your toothbrush on, it's not actually connected to anything. It's induction charge. And so the buses pull, they'll drop themselves down a bit, and the road has a charger in
Induction through
charges.
The road.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, aren't they experimenting with solar roads as well?
There's lots of things they're experimenting. That's one of the things that imagine that. You drive along solar roads, because the other thing that people are saying is that if we all went electric, the grid would explode, wouldn't cope with it. What they're doing in China, I think it is, the electric cars, they're doing the other way around. They're charged up. And when they come home, there's often a lot of charge left in the car. So everybody comes home at the same time, plugs the car into the grid. The grid takes the charge from the car, so you don't get that flip of electricity when everyone comes in and puts a kettle on.
Oh, that's cool.
And then when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and nobody's using it, the car gets charged.
Absolutely. Well, I got very close to buying a Tesla because I think it's a lovely car. Beautiful. And then Porsche sent me an advance notification of the Mission E that they're going to launch in 2019. And that whole Tesla thing went out of the window, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Because it looks an absolutely stunning car. Now, at the moment, it's a concept. Porsche have said it's going to be the fastest production car they make.
Yes.
It's fully electric. And they're aiming for a full charge time of 15 minutes or something, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it is the most gorgeous-looking thing you've ever seen.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I reckon the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot of change. Again, Elon Musk has come out with that lorry, 500-mile range.
Yep.
And suddenly, that becomes a bit of a game-changer, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
But for me, I've got a friend who rides a Ducati. And Ducati. Bear with me. Yeah. A Duke.
Can you get an electric motorbike?
He's
You can, can't you?
Yes.
He goes to the Isle of Man every year.
Yeah.
And he won't mind me telling this story. And he's got a 90-mile range on his petrol tank because it's got a racing tank on it. Yep. I mean, it is a racing bike.
Yeah.
So he has to plan his trip according to where there's a petrol station en route.
Yeah.
And if you're driving an electric car, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
It's very much like that.
If you need to stop and charge somewhere, yep, you need to know where there's a service station that's got an electric charge point.
The whole thing about the Tesla is it's got a 17-inch command screen in it. And yes, if you use the sat-nav, which you should for every journey, when you put the sat-nav destination in, it says, if you go this route, these are where the charging points are.
But the point I was trying to make is there aren't enough of them at the moment, are there? So is it chicken and egg? What's going to
I'll tell you what it is. The petrochemical companies aren't particularly keen on it, as you can imagine. But as it's developing more, they're going to have to take more interest in it. And as soon as they start pumping tons of money into that, things will change.
Yeah,
and you'll suddenly see technology being driven, it's either money or war, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it'll be driven by the money.
Yeah.
And the petrochemical companies will find another way of making money using the infrastructure that we need in.
Yeah.
Because fast charging points are really rare. I mean, that's what you need a fast charging point. But that's what Paul's saying.
Basically, you know, your retail petrol outlets are going to have to start thinking about what they replace their fuel income with. I mean, already they operate supermarkets in their petrol stations.
Yes.
So what they're going to do eventually is remove the diesel and petrol pumps, presumably, and have fast charging points that you can pay various amounts of money for.
Well, I'm already organising business loans for fast charging stations.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that is a now. So
that's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because it's not just them. They won't have the monopoly necessarily on that market anymore, will they? Because there are organisations that are buying up forecourts to install fast charging points.
There's been so many apocryphal stories about petrochemical companies hiding alternative fuels, water.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned that earlier on. And it's true, you can get a steam-driven, you can get a water-driven car.
Yeah.
You fill it up, it pressurizes the tank and it pushes it, and it works.
Yeah.
And there are engines that use other fuels, but the patents have all been bought by the petrochemical companies and never seen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to talk about asset finance, not just cars.
Yeah, we do in a minute. But just before we do, I just want to bring Carol in here as well. I want to bring Carol in here, and I just want to ask another thing about cars before we move on to assets finance. One of the things I see through Jobs in Kent is one of the big growth industries when retail started to go down as an employment area. Mm. White van driving and lorry driving suddenly went up, you know, because we now order it all through Amazon and get it delivered. Are you seeing that in your business? Do you handle driving jobs?
To be fair, no, we don't do a lot of driving jobs. But I'd be interested to know how many driving jobs are actually coming outside of the UK, though.
Mm.
When you look about the amount of European lorries that we've actually got on our roads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
just one more thing, because I get asked a lot about this. Yeah. Should I go petrol or diesel or electric? And everybody's confused at the moment. Should I go hybrid? Should I go plug-in hybrid?
Yeah.
At the moment, if you're doing over sort of 10,000-15,000 miles a year, stick with small diesels. If you're using a big four-wheel drive, stick with a bigger diesel. If you tow a caravan, stick with a diesel.
Yeah.
If you're doing less than 100 miles a day and you don't need to drag a lead across the road to charge it, have a look at petrol. If you're doing 100 miles a day with the odd occasional journey, get a hybrid.
Mm.
They do work very, very well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just going to think, one of the reasons I brought Carol into this and kind of trying to broaden the conversation out a bit, we've heard a lot about driverless cars.
Oh, yes.
And stuff like that. And it would seem to me that I think one of the... I've done some things with one or two of the bigger companies like Amazon and also Let's Eat and people like that. Let's actually have a robot dog that delivers stuff in London. really? No, seriously. And a lot of people will talk about Amazon have been experimenting with drones for delivery. So driverless vans, white vans, would seem to me to be quite high up the agenda.
I suspect what will happen is that motorways will have driverless vans or driverless cars even. So you go in, you turn your motorway button on, because that's a fairly stable environment for a computer to handle.
Yeah.
It's a lot different in a town.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that unless they actually ban all the cars from the town and just have a kind of skelectric track around where you get onto a pod and then drive in.
Yeah, because the danger's low speed, not high speed, isn't it, really? It's low speed accidents in towns.
It's the first 10 minutes from your home, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
But do you think the technology's there yet?
No, okay. I don't. Not for me. Yeah. I went to the New Forest yesterday. Yeah. It took me 2 hours. I'd have had to have gone there, stopped halfway, charged at the house there, stopped halfway back. It would take ages.
Yeah.
So it's one car, one fill up, there and back. So
it's interesting.
So we look forward to giving you a lift when your Porsche runs out of juice, your new Porsche, on the motorway. We'll keep a lookout for you, Paul.
No, you see.
In our old clapped out cars.
No. What you have to understand is I don't take my Porsche everywhere, which is why it's got such a low mileage, even though it's 3 years old. I've still only got 12,000 miles on the clock.
Right. You know the bike, sorry, just going back to the bike, driverless vehicles, what would concern me, and we talked about this off air earlier on, is the AI that's involved in it.
Yeah.
I mean, someone walks in front of you, and, you know, it's just all of those aspects of it that would trouble me.
Well, it's not funny. It's ironic, I think, is a better way of describing it. I can't remember which organisation it was, but somebody had a video demonstration of a driverless car, and it actually ran over the guy that was organising the event streamed on Facebook Live.
That's terrible.
That's
not funny, is it?
But that's happened quite a lot. Volvo did it with their braking thing, didn't they? Yeah, look how good our braking was, and they drove two cars straight into each other in front of all the press.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all being tested now, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we're about to start testing driverless lorries, I think, in the UK.
Oh, they're driverless cars now. Testers. There's a button you can drive, and it will drive itself.
Yeah.
So it's one of the biggest things about driverless cars was legislation. Who do you blame if there's an accident?
Yeah,
that's what was holding a lot of it back.
Yeah.
But what about insurance?
Yeah, well, exactly. Who's the insurance go after?
Yeah.
There's no one driving the car. Who do you insure?
No, who's insured?
The software company.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
you know,
that's half the problem with driverless cars.
Unintended consequences. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. I think all of this technology will arrive eventually.
Oh yeah,
somewhere down the line.
Definitely.
Knowing the insurance market, there's bound to be a product out there sooner or later that caters for that.
It's like I'm a big fan of this. It's like anything, and so many people just don't get this. So many people want to live in the past. It's like so many people tell me we don't make anything in the UK anymore. That's complete nonsense. The fact that we don't have 30,000 people working at Ford plant in Dagenham nailing wind mirrors on car doors does not mean to say we don't make cars.
No.
We make better cars. We make more cars. We just use fewer people to do it with, and we use a lot more automation. And the car industry is a classic example of this. Most of the guts of a car now is software.
Yeah, yes. Or just shipped in and put together.
Yeah.
But we make Nissans, Toyotas, Land Rovers. There's a lot we still do make, but they're all owned by foreign enterprises.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's the manufacturing process that people don't understand. They think about heavy metal stuff, yeah? What about that? What about your what?
Asset finance.
Oh, this is much more interesting.
Why does he want to talk about asset finance? Is he trying to borrow money off you or something,
Paul?
I don't
know. What do you want to do?
I tell you why I want to talk about asset finance.
I tell you what, Martin, let's talk about asset finance.
Right. So one of the things that Paul does very, very
anyway, that's enough for today. That's the end of the show.
Yes.
Is he will tap into grant schemes that are out there in order to help you buy that asset as well. And one of the things that you tap into is Locase, isn't it?
Well, Locase is what does Locase stand for?
Low carbon in the southeast.
Yeah.
Very good.
So this is a European-wide initiative. It's a kind of a slush fund, basically, to get businesses, small businesses it's targeted at, investing in technology that's going to make them more carbon efficient.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And you can claim up to £10,000, so the equivalent of 40% of your investment back, up to 10K, grant funded. So if you're buying an asset for your business,
such as
solar panels,
right?
Okay.
So. Okay. Could be a new boiler.
Could be a new solar panels, new boiler, water reclamation, that sort of thing. Also, anything that makes the business more ecologically sound.
If it's going to reduce your carbon footprint, it will qualify, basically.
Okay.
So it will reduce your bills.
They're not doing too well in Germany, then.
At the same time as reducing your carbon footprint, and actually, there's a grant that's going to pay for some of it, up to 40% of it. So a 25K investment, for example, would actually only cost your business £15,000.
Okay. So let's explore this from every angle. We're trying to reduce carbon footprint. They've got these grants on offer to businesses. They're not really doing a lot to market it because I still don't entirely understand what I can buy. I get the idea I can buy solar panels. I get the idea I can buy a boiler.
Well, think about your office in Maidstone.
Yep.
What sort of lighting has it got? Has it got the old traditional tubes, or is it LED lighting?
Well, it's even cleverer than that, Martin.
Right.
One of the grants that they had was for bikes for the staff.
Bikes, push bikes.
Push bikes for the staff, because it lowered the impact of loads of staff driving to work.
Right. Okay, no, I like that.
Could be showers at work.
Could be PCs at home.
I mean, you really do need to. Could be new technology that enables you to do video conferencing with your clients instead of having to get in a job.
Okay, well, that's the kind of thing I was.
Go and visit them.
You know, because for most of us, most businesses don't own their own premises, so you're not likely to go and slam solar panels on the roof because it's not yours. Yeah. And you might not even replace the boiler. Like, so Fruitworks, for instance, I don't own the boiler. I've got an industrial boiler from 1843. In my place, I would replace it like a shot if it was my building, but it's not.
Another one they've done in that case then, you imagine 10 employees all come to work. If they're doing work that could be done at home, they purchase computers so they can do them at home. It cuts down on the travel time, increases the productivity.
I know this isn't asset finance, and I'm sorry, but that's one of my big things in terms of infrastructure planning. If the government was more serious about some of this, what we should be doing is heavily investing better in our broadband technology and making tax-based incentives for more people to work at home rather than to commute via train or plane or car or anything else. That's just a no-brainer. But
So, I mean, things like that, that's quite difficult to raise money for, because PCs are notoriously risky things to lend money on. But... Yeah. Because I know where I'm going and what I'm doing, it's something I can actually organise.
But it's not just micro businesses, Paul. I mean, the turnover threshold is 50 million quid. So, you know, at that level, I would suggest, you know, you may well own your own premises. And,
yeah, but 99.3% of businesses have less than 10 employees.
No, I agree. But nevertheless, there are still an awful lot of businesses out there that do employ 10 people or more.
Sure.
So it's a fantastic
scheme.
No,
but it was interesting. It wasn't just those kind of massive building things. That's what interested me.
Anything. Yeah, it's what's his name? Rob from KCC does it, isn't he? And he will listen to any argument a company might have and put forward the case for Locase.
Okay, and so
Paul can work with a business, in other words, in order to build a Locase argument and get that funding through.
Okay, all right, wait for it. So. I've identified something that I think I can blag some money for.
Right. Fruitworks has got to be a good
example. I'm working on this. Work with me. I've identified something I think that would vastly improve the climate and reduce my CO2 impact and my footprint. Mm-hmm. I've got this idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost me 20 grand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does it work from there? I haven't got 20 grand. I've got nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk to Paul about raising some money and I'm going to talk to Locase. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? How does it work? Is there a proportional percentage? You know, so if the thing costs me 20 grand, will Locase look at it and if they approve it, grant up to 50%, 25%, 75%, 100%?
40%. It's up to 40% is the max.
40%.
Yeah. Tend to do it case by case as well and look at the impact that your project is going to have as well. So if it doesn't have a very big impact, they're not going to put much in it. But if it's got a massive impact, then they'll want to encourage it.
Okay. But that's just one side of the grant. There's another side of the grant, which is if you are already a Locase business, in other words, a business operating in the low carbon space, you can actually use Locase to get things like marketing support funded for your business. In other words, to help you enter new markets, for example.
Okay. All right.
If you had an LED product, lighting product, for example, that you wanted to launch into the marketplace. Okay. So there's two sides to it. So
that's Locase, and that's a taxpayer-funded European scheme.
Yeah, and that's the reason why our Brexit bill is going to be so high, because we've pumped so much money into these European schemes that if we don't spend it, basically, we're just going to lose it. And we've paid for it anyway, so, you know, we need to spend it.
Okay, so that's that. Let's talk about asset finance in general.
You could do if you like.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? Well, a lot of people say, what is asset finance?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the question I was going to ask you.
Basically, if you have a company...
Buying stuff.
It is, basically. If you've got a business that needs an asset, it could be refinancing the company Jaguar.
Yeah.
It could be refinancing lorries. It could be buying shop refits.
Yep.
It could be warehouse refitting. Mm. What it isn't is buildings. and property, but it's almost everything else. As I said, from sheep to herds of cows to apart from tanks, can't do tanks, can't do military equipment,
can't do tanks.
There's always limitations.
I was just about to think about there's always a Challenger Mark VI, and he's blown me out of the water on it.
Electric Challenger.
That was always my bugbear with the startup loan program. You could never borrow money to set up an arms dealing company or anything like that.
Oh, I know. They just lack imagination,
never
don't they?
Poland,
yeah. Tracy Ferguson has been on again and says, you're absolutely right, Tracy. Why is there so little transparency around grants available, especially those helping SMEs? Mm-hmm. And what is it? What's the old cliche, Carol? You can't sell a secret. But they still try it, don't they? He's still trying to sell secrets.
The thing I see about those kind of initiatives and their lack of exposure in the marketplace is they tend to go about it the wrong way. We live in a social media world now. If you posted that on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, or Instagram, or whatever, you're likely to get far more awareness than if you just try and do what they do, which is put some afternoon television advert on or something.
Yeah. But sometimes also it's the War and Peace documentation that you have to complete just to apply for the first interim level of the
Locate is pretty straightforward, actually. It's a very simple application.
But I do agree with Carol on this. I had a lovely argument with a certain leader of a certain county council around here a couple of years ago about their grant scheme, in which he point blank told me on a live radio show that basically there was no hurdles to overcome in applying for this. And while he was doing it, me and the presenter had his website up, which said exactly the opposite of what he just told us.
You're talking about the Regional Growth Fund.
When he was saying it was for startup businesses, and on the front page it says you had to have been in business 6 years before you could apply for it.
That's not a startup, is it?
Well, the other thing was, with that particular fund, the second stage of it literally was like War and Peace, and actually recommended that you hire someone to complete the form. Mm. How many small businesses can afford to do that in the first place? Why would they be getting the loan?
Absolutely.
So less people to take the loan.
We're running out of time.
We are.
Carol needs to talk about her special recruitment offer that she's got on at the moment as well. So,
well, let's do that.
Christmas. So let's get that in while we can.
Mm. Okay, Martin, thank you. So it's to supply my business members. If you place a job with us before 25th of December, we will charge a placement fee of a candidate of only £1,000. Now, our rate is between 10% and 15% usually. So £1,000 placement fee is a really, really good gift.
And how do people take advantage of that?
So they need to contact us. So they can do that by the traditional means of calling us on 01843 29 4444. They can contact us through our website, which is artemisrecruitment.co.uk, or on Twitter, which is @ArtemisTeam.
Fantastic. Thank you. The link to Carol's website is actually on the Kent Business Radio website, and it will stay there forever. So if you ever want to know, this is show 353, and if you go into it, the link to the website will be there. So,
can I just mention one other thing?
Of course you can.
For the listeners that are actually looking for work, we're always desperate for good candidates, so please do get in touch.
Especially if you, at this time of year, look good in a white beard and a red coat. Martin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not tried that one yet. We ought to just see if Paul's got any special offers as well, because I know a while back you were talking about Skoda.
The Skodas are doing cracking deals on the Octavia. There was a 1 litre, 135 quid a month.
Wow. And he still hasn't got one. That's what annoyed. And I can't believe the guy.
So that's for 2018 delivery.
Yeah. Funny enough, it's an odd time of year for car deals at the moment, because they're all waiting till after Christmas for the next quarter. So the best thing to do is to keep an eye on the website, Troman. Just search for Troman Finance. It'll come up on Google, TROMAN. Or I'm always on LinkedIn. Just search for Paul Rainbow. You'll find me there. There's not many me's around. And I'm on Facebook, of course, and I'm on Twitter. Just search for my name. I'll turn up.
Yeah. Cool. That's good stuff. You're saying that, though. I was in Bluewater last night, and Porsche has got a pop-up shop for Christmas. They're hopeful, aren't they?
A pop-up shop for Christmas. Dash out and get a couple.
Do you know what your hubby would like? We got this 911. They had a GTR in there as well.
I bet they had a finance deal on it as well.
Oh, well, you would, wouldn't you? Nobody's got enough money to buy one outright. I mean, that's ridiculous. No. Cool. Hey,
gosh, we've covered some stuff today.
We have indeed. It's been fascinating. I'd like to say a massive thank you to Carol Partington from Artemis Recruitment, to Paul Rainbow, who joined us at the very last minute. So thank you, Paul, for that.
My pleasure.
From Troman Finance, to my oppo here, Mr. Marvellous Martin White. But that's it for another week. Coming up, we've got Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show. And this week she's got printmaker Hugh Ribbons and Amanda Dacom from Faversham Literary Festival. That's at 4 o'clock. And then we've got dear old Boy George later on. I haven't got time to play his jingle now because we've run out of time. So we'll be back with you next week, and hope you all have a brilliant week. We'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.